Good morning. Welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm Phil McMillan. The first thing we need to do is prepare for this morning's worship with prayer. Nothing we can say or do is worthwhile to God unless it's done in His power. So search your souls, lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask Him for the eyes and ears of God the Holy Spirit, so that all we say and do may edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for one more opportunity that we have to assemble together to study Your Word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit would indeed give us eyes and ears to hear Your truth, to know the Word of God and put it in our souls, not in a box in our garage, in our souls so that we can use it as we go through our week. Heavenly Father, troubled times are nothing new to this world, and they are you've amply prepared us and given us the tools to deal with them. And we pray that as we look to Your Word today, we may walk in a manner that is pleasing to You and is glorifying to our Lord and Savior. For it's in His name that we pray, sir. Amen. So let's start this morning with a word of song, Brian.
Turn to hymn 76. If you would, if you can find a hymnal nearby, we're going to sing My Jesus, I Love Thee, number 76.
Okay. All right. So you might have heard the house full we got now. We have 3, 6, up to 8 people besides the regular crew. So that's like a house full these days. So good to see you all. And thank you all for joining us online. One of these days, you're going to have to get out of your jammies and come to church, though. That's just all there is to it. Let's see. Prayer requests and announcements. Let's see. Of course, be in continuous prayer for Herman and Judith. Haven't gotten a special report or anything this week. I know that Herman is due an MRI. I don't know if he's gotten that yet. But last I heard, he's responding in therapy well and increasing in his speaking ability all the time. So, you can be hopeful that one day you won't have to listen to me. Let's see. Please keep Kit and I in your prayers for the teaching that's going on here. We are just blessed to have the opportunity to use the study that we've done through the years with Herman and what we've done scholastically to learn the original languages and at least how to approach the Word of God from that. And we pray that please be in prayer that God will use all that we know and are, that we might continue to edify this body and help you to glorify Christ in your daily walk. Let's see. Please keep the Wise household and the Daig households in your prayers. They are still trying to do weekly Bible studies with the young people to the best of their ability in these lockdown times, and they're doing some online stuff. If you haven't been to libertyyouthministries.com, I'd urge you to check it out. There are some they did post quite a few little Bible classes on YouTube that are available through a link there on the Youth Ministries page. Just to look at them and see that they're there and see that it's the other young people that are doing a lot of those classes. The college kids that have gone through our summer camps in the past, that the Word of God dwells in them richly, and they're anxious and capable of teaching that to their peers. And it's a glorious thing to behold. If you've got a chance and need to be uplifted, see what God has done through that youth group, through our little efforts from this little meager church that we have. It's fantastic. Let's see, I believe Cindy Edwards still on our prayer list. Johnny Thompson and family. Johnny is in hospice care. He's been doing well since he got off of the chemotherapy. But the cancer's still there, and he's continuing in. Larry just informed me that the youth group is meeting in person, and some of them in person and online every week. Okay, let's see. So Johnny Thompson and family, Autumn Switzer, Tish still in therapy for her kidneys. As far as missionaries go, of course, the Reesley family, Pat Reesley has had congestive heart issues for a long time, and that is goes part and parcel with congestive heart failure is kidney problems, and she's in renal distress as well now. And such a beautiful family. I just can't say enough about the Reesley family, that three generations have taken that ministry. If Bill and Pat shuffled off this mortal coil immediately, that ministry is going to continue for years. They're going to be there serving those people in Mexico and teaching them the gospel and how the Bible shows them to live in this world. And it's just a magnificent ministry, and you couldn't ask for a more dedicated family. They need your prayers, and I'm sure they could use a dollar or two. Their newsletter, I think, is linked at the bottom of our webpage. Isn't it? The Reesley family? Yeah. And how about Dan and Pat Hill? Is their newsletter linked on our website also? Okay. Dan and Pat just did put out a new newsletter, I guess. Let's see. I'll give you a quick synopsis here. Dan is, and of course they've been unable to go to Africa because of all the COVID lockdowns and lockouts, and so they took it online just like the rest of us, and they're doing a Bible study specifically for their African Grace believers. And let's see, so they teach pastors in short lessons online or over the phone or over the web, and those pastors go out and teach it in the bush. I personally, my wife and I pray for at least five of them in Nigeria. If you like Dan or Pat, you're going to start getting friend requests from Nigerians. I can guarantee you they are very involved in the spread of the gospel there. If you can't do anything else, pray for those who are taking the word out. They are in physical danger for doing so. Nigeria is one of the hot spots of persecution for Christians in general. And I don't mean they're just throwing rocks at them, saying dirty things. They're killing them, you know. One pastor went into a small village, evangelized and taught them. And immediately a Muslim group came in and killed many people in that village. And a few days later, they were having a mass funeral for those who had been killed, and they came back and attacked them again at the funeral site and killed some more of them. And so these people, you know, we have 30 years of Bible study under our belt and probably aren't holding up as well in the relatively easy times we have here in the United States as these guys who just get the gospel and get to meet Jesus about a day later, okay? They need our prayers. Indeed, the persecuted church worldwide needs our prayers. Let's see. Dan and Pat are thinking they'll get back to Africa. Let me see, what was that? I think they had in September. Yeah, in September. So that early, and they're hoping to go also to, that's Liberia, and they're hoping also to go to Ghana, by October or November. So they are anxiously anticipating their return to Africa. And if you keep up with their newsletter, you'll find many prayer requests and opportunities to give through them. And our website, hopefully those, I think both of those newsletters are linked to our news site, our website at www.springvalleybiblechurch.org. One of the most important links there is the contribution link, right? You jump on there and make a donation through PayPal. You don't need a PayPal account or anything. It's just a secure way to make a transaction online. And you can always mail a check. And if you're brave enough to come here, you can always drop a check off in the back. We have a plate on the table in the back so that we don't have to go passing our cooties around or anything with him. Okay? So, with these prayer requests in mind, yes, ma'am?
I want to say just one for Christian, family, the Bible or grandma passed away Friday night.
Kristen or Christian?
Fritzen.
Fritzen. Fritzen. Okay. Fritzen family lost their mother?
Mother/grandmother.
Mother, grandmother, yeah. And anyway, so good. Fritzen family. Any other hot off the press requests there? Nope. Okay. And that's fine. If you are out there have a prayer request, please feel free to add it there in the comments section. Or if you're on our prayer list, you can just respond to the prayer list that goes out by email. Thanks to Leslie Jensen. And just respond to that with your prayer request, and she will add it to the list. Or if you need prayers right away, tell her that, and she'll send out a special request for you. With these prayer requests in mind, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come to before your throne of grace together as a body. Lord, it's not just me praying. It's all these here in the room. It's all those that listen to us on the web. We all, with one voice and in one spirit, bring these requests to you. We pray for our Pastor Herman, for his continued healing. and for the advance of his therapy. We pray for Judith's patience and peace in these troubling times for her. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our youth group, for the Wise and Dague households, and for safety from illness, and pray that they would continue to be able to spread your word to the young people. Heavenly Father, we pray for Cindy Edwards and Johnny and Tish and Autumn, and ask that all those who are on our prayer list for illness and cancer, Lord, we pray your healing hand would be upon them, and that your spirit would comfort them and their families and their illnesses. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all the missionaries we support. We especially lift up Bill and Pat in this time for the Riesley family. And we pray, Lord, you continue to guide Dan and Pat in their mission efforts, and bless them and as they support those who spread your word. Heavenly Father, we pray you keep them safe and healthy as they do that in regions most of us would be afraid to go to, Lord. We just pray for them. We praise, Lord, for our country. We recognize that there's no political solution, that it's all in the power of your Spirit working through us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may have the words to spread your gospel. We may have the power of your Spirit to pierce the darkness in people's souls these days, that they might see the truth of your word and see its establishment on earth. We ask, Heavenly Father, all these things, that our Lord and Savior might be glorified in our country, in our marriages, in our children, in our lives, for he deserves all glory. In his name we pray, sir. Amen. Well, let's see. Got all that stuff out of the way. Okay, let's get down to some Bible study. Speaking of schedule, let's see. Earlier this morning, we did finish up the book of Philippians. And so next Sunday morning in the early class, I'm going to resume the study in Timothy, 1 Timothy, that we began on Wednesday nights. And on Wednesday night, Kit's going to continue his series on Judges. Done some fantastic work there in parallels between the book of Judges and other parts of the Bible, and searching out the Word of God and seeing that the fabric of Scripture, as he likes to put it, and that's an awesome tapestry that it is, that none of the Word of God is independent of the rest of it, and the way it ties together is often given only in the eyes of God the Holy Spirit. And we're lucky to have a studious scholar of the Word like Kit to help us find those little threads that go through. And I invite you to join him on Wednesday night, either live or online. Let's see. We're going to continue our study here on... Let's see. Ah, let me remind you. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him sacrificed, him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And that power is God the Holy Spirit, and we have invoked him, and as I did in prayer, that his flock would be fed this day. The purpose of our time together is that you be encouraged and equipped to glorify our Savior in all that you do. You do not have a worldly life and a spiritual life. You have one life, and God wants all of it. The process of sanctification is to get us to be Spirit-filled at all times. We are to be in the Spirit, for when we are in the Spirit, we glorify Christ. And that's the purpose of our lives. That's why God has saved us, that we would glorify His Son, and His Son glorifies Him. And that's what it's all about. It's the purpose of our lives. Walk in the Spirit, and thereby glorify Christ. We have taken the last two Sundays to look at our walk. We looked at some of the Greek words translated as walk, and we've seen that the Bible uses this concept, walk, carry out your life, to describe the purpose, intent, and manner that we are to conduct our lives. Last Sunday, we looked at the idea of walking in life. We principally looked at Romans chapter 6. Just to recap from verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, identified with Christ, and been saved, right? Because we are identified with His death, burial, and resurrection. So we have been, if we have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have also been baptized into His death. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism, identification, and into death. And that's talking about just as Christ died on the cross, our old sin nature died with Him. It's been taken away that we could do the work of God, not the work of our flesh, through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We have a whole new life. We haven't been remodeled, okay, and told that okay, now our flesh nature can do the work of God. Christ didn't remodel us. He tore us down and built us again from scratch, okay? And that new life that He has given us is where we're supposed to remain. But the world, the flesh, and the devil drag us back. And so even though we've been given life eternal, we walk around like a bunch of dead people. I think that's the appeal of all the zombie movies and series and things. I've never watched any of them, but you know, when Satan puts something out there, it appeals in a very human based level, right? All that zombie stuff is, you look at it, think of it in this sense. All those zombies are the people without God the Holy Spirit. And instead of blasting all of them to smithereens, we need to be giving them the gospel, okay? Before they eat all our brains. So there's the contrast of dead, in this being of this world, everything of this world is dead. It's not part of Christ. It's not part of God. And God has the market on life. Okay? He cornered the market on life. He's the only source of it. And we live according to this world. We're just acting like the dead. And Paul in Romans 6 urges us to walk in that newness of life that we've been given through the work of Christ. In this world, we're surrounded by darkness. There's evil so thick that the simplest concepts of human existence are being obscured. The idea that God created mankind in His image, male and female, He created them, is now seen as offensive. That's how dark the world is. And so what can we do about this? What can we do about all this darkness that we see all around us, this denial of the most basic and straightforward concepts of existence are being challenged and looked at as crazy, right? And that's exactly what they told us in Romans chapter 2. Things are going to get so bad that the insane things are going to be called right. Right's going to be called wrong, and wrong's going to be called right. And that's exactly what we see in the world around us. So what can we do? Just as we saw in Philippians, we have to walk in the newness of life. We saw this also in Philippians, that we walk in the newness of life. Philippians chapter 2, 14, we looked at last week. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. You don't want to complain, and you don't want to argue with the Word of God, right? And the reason why is so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent. Well, Last time I checked, Christ is the only blameless and innocent out there, right? So how are we going to prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent? Well, we are in Christ. We walk in Christ. We walk in that newness of life. And that's exactly that we are, blameless and innocent before God. That's why we can have a relationship with Him, because we have the very righteousness of Christ in us. And so, blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. And then that last part, Paul is talking to them about being... What did I miss? Did I skip a line? Any question? Okay. Yeah, I was in Philippians chapter 2, started at 14, 15, 16 there. Okay. But I read the whole thing to you. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Paul there is referring to not the rapture, but to the judgment scene of Christ, where he will be rewarded for all eternity because he led these people to Christ and taught them how to walk in the Spirit. And so all that they continue to do is glorifying to God. And so his life wasn't worthless. He didn't work for nothing. He worked for the glory of Christ. He didn't work, did not conduct his life, run, right? That's just fast walking. Same analogy. He did not run or conduct his life or work for no reason. It was for the glory of Christ. So we see here in this, where he talks about holding to life, and another concept, though, of our walk in Christ. We are to be lights in the world, right? We're not only supposed to walk in that newness of life, we're also supposed to be, to walk in light, to be part of the flashing forth of the glory of God in the midst of this perverse and crooked generation. So, this morning we're going to look at walking in light. Last week it was walking in life. This week it's walking in light. Let's see. Let's start with the creation of light, shall we? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Now, this is the literal, actual account of creation, recorded in the Word of God. And I want to preface with that statement, because I'm going to show you that there's something else going on here as we talk about the creation of light and dark. And it affects our walk in the light. We look at, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And two, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Well, we've learned in the past from Herman that there's something going on between verse 1 and verse 2. And the reason that we know, like the Creationist Museum, awesome museum, does some wonderful things in showing how the natural history reflects creation in 7 days, according to the Word of God. And but they reject that there's a break between verse 1 and verse 2. And they refer to it as the gap theory. But it's not a theory. There is actually something going on between verse 1 and 2. And we know this because in verse 2 it says the earth was formless and void. And for that to be a flow without anything happening between them, that would mean God created something that was not perfect. He created a perfect mess, formless and without void, right? And darkness was over the surface of the deep. Nothing light, just a dark mess. And that isn't the power of God's creation. Everything that God has created, God created in perfection, right? And we would expect nothing less could flow from the perfect, omniscient, omnipotent God that He is, right? When we look at Isaiah 45 verse 18, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it." So He knows, right? He created it. He made it. "He established it and did not create it a waste place." And that word for waste that they use in Isaiah is the exact same word that we see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, where it says the earth was formless and void. It was a waste. Okay? Well, Isaiah's calling Genesis a liar, I guess, is the way we're going to say about that verse, right? Or Isaiah didn't know what was going on in Genesis. Well, he does know what's going on. He would have, of course, studied Genesis as a part of his prophetic training. But Isaiah 45:18 is letting us know that God created something perfect. So there had to have been a gap, had to have had something, no matter how long it took, happen between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 to make the earth a big waste place full of darkness. We're not going to go to a full study of the angelic conflict right now because I want to stay on this concept of walking in the light, but the angelic conflict is exactly what happened in between verse 1 and verse 2. That's when Satan managed to draw the angels away from God and get them to follow him. And two-thirds of the angels got redeemed, but a third of them still follow Satan. So when creation, original creation in 1, fell, the angels rebelled against God, and it brought judgment to the earth. That's a concept we could do a whole class on right there. We don't have man-made global warming going on in the world. What we have is divine judgment of man going on in planet Earth. How many times in the Bible, the Old Testament, and I think even in the New, do they say, because of your iniquity, God has closed up the heavens and there's no rain, right? Or because of their iniquity, a flood came upon the earth. Or because of what was going on, the relationship of God and man, the earth suffered because of it. And what we see today is not a result of our reckless, capitalistic, activity that is wrecking the world. What we're seeing is the judgment of God on man who has rejected him, and it's affecting this earth. And there's real climate change. It's just not caused by man. It's caused by man's negative volition, not by man's activity. Okay? Again, just as there's no political solution for our country, it's a spiritual solution. There's no scientific solution for changing the weather. We've been trying since the dawn of the industrial age, to get it to rain or to get it to stop raining or to at least know when a tornado's coming. We can't even figure that out. We don't know a tornado's coming until it's time to duck and cover, right? So that's how much we know about the weather. And we're not affecting it, but it is being affected by our negative volition. So just as it does happens today, it happened in the original creation. And we see that because of the angelic conflict, in verse 2, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. Here comes God back on the scene. It's formless and void. It's been wiped out because of negative volition of angelic creation. And God's Spirit moves over the surface of the water. There's nothing but darkness there, right? Because God has been rejected by angelic conflict. All the light is gone. Nothing but darkness. And the Spirit of God moves over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light. It was good. And God separated. He made a division. Here's light and here's dark. Okay? We don't just see the creation of day and night here, which is true. That is what we're seeing, the creation of day and night, the establishment of the sun and the celestial bodies that cause day and night. But we're also seeing that God, in the very beginning, He divided the darkness and the light. The darkness is seeing what happens when we reject God and we live under His or try to live without Him. There's a big dark mess, right? And when God's Spirit moves over the waters, there is light. All of a sudden, the presence of God brings about the light. Get it? Right? So we have that God has brought about light. He is the creator of light, but He also is light. There is no light without God. Okay, we're going to look at a couple of passages that talk about the fact that God is light. Right? First one is in 1 John. We're going to pick it up in verse 5. 1 John 5. "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light." See, I didn't just make that up. There it is. God is light. "And in Him there is no, zero, zilch, not a darkness at all." Okay? "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness," there's our contrast. Light is walking with God. Darkness is walking in this world, walking in this big dark mess, right? "If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth." Friends, the work of God in your life is evident. It's always going to be evident. His fruits are visible. You know an apple tree because you see the apples, and we know a Christian that's relying on His Spirit because we see the fruits in that believer's life. Okay? And if you say, "I love God and I have faith," and your life has no fruits, if you're worried, if you're in fear, if you are not nice to people, okay, then you're telling a lie. You're lying. You can lie to us if you want to impress us, but at least don't lie to yourself, because you're not lying to God. Okay? So if you don't see those fruits in your life, you've got to start figuring out where the short circuit is. That's the thing that we're all here to do. Produce those fruits. So, there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, produce no fruits, just act like we live in this world, like a dead man. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, and there's a reference to Christ, He was the flashing forth of the righteousness of God, the light of God itself. Then we have fellowship with one another. That's the basis of our relationship. We saw that in Philippians, or in the earlier class. We are both, you and I, we're all in Christ, right? And that's the basis of our relationship together. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? Jesus did the same work for you that He did for me. I was just as guilty before God as you are. And because we all have, and again, I hate to repeat from this morning for those of you who sat through that whole 45 minutes, but this is true equality in the world, is that we have 100% condemnation before God across the board in all equality. We deserve the death that we have, that we live. Not only that we're going to get eternal separation from God, but the hell on earth that we live in when we reject God. Okay? We deserve it because that's all that our sin nature, all our flesh, all this world has to offer is death. But when we make that faith decision in Christ, you and I both get 100% equal justification. We get 100% equal righteousness of God imputed to us. And that's the basis of our relationship together. Okay? So, and it's all because the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Second verse we're going to look at where we're supposed to be walking in light. Walking as in life and light is synonymous, is what we see here, right? Light is in the presence of God. That's in Christ, and we all have the same basis to do that. James talks about this as well. If we turn to James chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. Well, that's a controversial statement in James. And because we see again and again in other parts of the Bible where people were tempted. Okay? And often, and even often see the phrase tempted of God, just like James uses here. And it's the context that sorts this reference out from the other ones, okay? James uses this word for tempted, it means to try someone, okay? And we're tried when we're in the light, we're walking in the newness of life, we're demonstrating the light of God in the world, and when we are tempted to walk according to the flesh, to fall out of spiritual of faith reliance on God the Holy Spirit, that comes from this world. It comes from our appetites, our lusts, wanting to be a part of this world. And this world telling us that it's the standard that we should walk by. And God has separated this. He's sent His Son to die to cause this separation. Okay? And God isn't the one that's telling you, you ought to try doubting me for a while. And that's what James is talking about here. God didn't tell you ever to stop trusting Him. And that's the temptation, to stop trusting God and to rely on our own works or our own power to try and please God. So when someone is tempted, they don't get the right to say, God made me do it. God had me told me to not follow Him in faith, or God, I really have my faith in God, and I swear I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I had enough to punch that guy in the nose. Okay, somewhere along the line you lost a little faith. Okay, and so you can't say that God has tempted you and caused you to produce something other than the fruits of God the Holy Spirit. God cannot be tempted by evil. God has nothing to do with evil. He's absolutely righteous. And just as we see in that understanding of the separation of light and dark, God is light. He's only light. There is no darkness in Him. Okay? And so He wasn't the one that told you to go walk, or tempted you to go and walk by the standards of this world. You did that all by yourself here in the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? He Himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is, here's why I'm saying this, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts. Okay? Now we see that word lusts, right? Lust, and we tend to think of only sexuality in some way. And that certainly covers quite a few of them. In another verse this morning, we looked at they use the word appetite, right? And I like that because that's the Aristotelian use of the word. He would use appetites, the things that we want in life, right? And our wants in life come in many categories, and it can maybe our desire for approbation. It may be our ambition, okay? All of these things are caused by our appetites, our lusts, the things that we want that are part of this world, okay? As Christians, we got one thing to want, and that's the glorification of Christ in our lives. And we got one way to get it. That's to rely on God in faith, whether it be for justification or sanctification, they're both coming the same way. Okay? So God didn't tempt you. It was your own lust that have enticed and carried you away. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin is anything that is not of faith, right? Lust said, hey, you're really going to like doing this outside of the Spirit. And you said, I think I will. And so you gave up on the faith part and went to the lust part, right? So it gave birth, and the result of that union was sin. And when sin is accomplished, it can only bring forth one thing, death. Now, that doesn't mean you've lost your salvation, right? That means that you are living like a dead guy. You're back into this world system. You've gone back, you've stepped away from the newness of life and moved back into walking in death. Do not be deceived. We're in 16 now. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Right? You know what it takes, what happens when you have a shadow? Darkness. There's some darkness down there where I blocked out some light, right? That's what makes a shadow. God is light. There's no shadow. And there's no shifting, no variation. This is God's righteousness combined with His immutability. He does not change. His standard does not change. It's impossible that God vary from his righteousness. The minute he were to be unrighteous, he would cease to be God, right? It's inherent quality of God that he does not change, and it's the inherent quality of God that he is absolute righteousness. And so pure light representing the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow, not a bit of dark. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. A kind of first fruits. Now, Christ is the first fruit. He's the first one to receive resurrection from the Father. Okay? No one had been resurrected before Him. There was resuscitation performed by Christ Himself, performed by Paul. That's where He tells a dead person, get up and walk. And the dead person gets up and walk. And he walks for a few more years and goes about his life, and then he dies. That's not resurrection. Our resurrection is permanent establishment of eternal existence. Okay? That's what resurrection is about. And so, when we see that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures, that's again us in Christ. Christ is called the first fruits because He was the first one resurrected, and we are a kind of first fruit because we reflect Christ among His creatures. All those dead people walking around, we're a picture of Christ and His light in this world. We're a picture of the fact that we live eternal in Him. Believers, remember that we are born of this world. Our old sin nature is darkness. We cannot produce light. We can, however, let God shine through us. Just as we entered, our faith is the basis to let God use us. to let His light be in us. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. Ephesians 5, 6. This is stupendous advice in this day and age. Let no one deceive you with empty words. That's all you hear out there these days. Empty words. Catchphrases and axioms that have no basis even in reality. Okay? And they're just empty words that go contrary to the Word of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God is slowly pouring out because of the gross amount of disobedience. We see it in the weather. We see it in our societal action interactions. This is the wrath of God coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't join into the world. You've got a separate existence apart from this world. Don't be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness. You were born that way. But now you are light in the Lord. Ephesians 5, 8. We're on 8, yeah. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You're light. The world is dark. If we're in God, we're part of the light. Walk as children of light. Walk in that light, just as you walk in the newness of life, right? We are to walk as children of light because we are in the are light in the Lord. Verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, that sounds kind of like fruits of the Spirit, doesn't it? Okay. Goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what the light is. If you're walking in the light, that's what's going to come out. Goodness and righteousness and truth. And those things come forth because those things are light. Those things are of God. He is good. He is righteous. And He is truth. Verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. If you're walking, you want to walk in the light and keep trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. All right? We've got a task here. Expose them. When someone says, God made me gay, we've got to say, no, the Bible says you were created male and female. The Bible says that marriage between a man and a woman is ordained. And if you deny that, you're in sin. You live in sin. Don't be judgmental about it. I sin, you sin, that's a sin. And what is that? That's the basis for your condemnation and the need of your of the work of Christ in your life. Okay? Now, if you jump on your high horse and call them horrible sinners and look down on them and things like that, you're not acting in love. And they're not going to receive the gospel, probably. You've got to give the gospel in love. You've got to give the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you've got to have the words, the tact of God the Holy Spirit when you're in that sort of situation, but you are by no means commanded to tell them that they're right in their sin. You've got to call a sinful action, okay? Expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Okay? But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Right? They're going to understand that they are in sin because of the light, not because of darkness. Well, how is darkness going to tell them they're in sin? Well, that's a self-righteous unfilled believer even, telling them that they're horrible people and they're condemned before God and attacking them. That isn't the way that we get going to convince them to believe in Christ. The way that we're going to convince them to believe in Christ is to do that lovingly with the words of God, the Holy Spirit. He's going to tell you how stern you have to be. Not you, not a standard of man that's going to tell them that. So they're exposed by the light. You tell them, show them the light. You tell them, you don't have to tell them you're a sinner. You say, well, the Bible tells me that God has created us man and woman separately, two distinct things. Those are the only sexes that he has put on the earth. And that he has ordained marriage for a man and a woman, just as he did from the very beginning. And that's the way it has been even culturally throughout almost all the history of man. Any society that accepted homosexuality to the degree that ours has been wiped out historically. They don't last, okay? But just telling them the truth of the Word of God, that's light. And what does it do? It exposes what they're doing as sin. The Word of God will convict them. It's not your job to convict them, right? It's God the Holy Spirit's job to convict them, right? Okay, so all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, and the it there is Isaiah. Okay, and other places in the Old Testament. I looked, and this is not one verse that he's quoting here when he says, it says, it starts in Isaiah, but it gets a little bit here and a little bit there as you go through this quote that he tells us here.
Hold on just one second. Yeah.
No, it's Ephesians, let me see, we got Isaiah 26:19, Isaiah 51:17, Isaiah 52:1, Romans 13:11, a little bit here and a little bit there. If you went and read all of those verses, you would see these words talked about. But it's not a direct quote from anything that we see in the Old Testament or New. But he says, Father, I lost my spot, sorry. Awake, sleeper. For this reason, it says, the Bible is teaching you, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. And there's that picture of resurrection that we saw last week when we talked about walking in life, right? Resurrection was even used to say, get out of the world of the dead, resurrect yourself to walk in the world of the living. And here, awake sleeper, it's like get up dead, arise from the dead. Just that same concept. Resurrection, not the resurrection we receive in Christ, but the resurrection that we experience when we wake up from the dead here in the devil's world. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. There's that light coming in. Because we're no longer a part of the darkness, we're part of the light. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. It's so important to me, I've spent 3 Bible classes on it. Walk. Be careful how you walk. Probably going to get one more in, by the way, next week. On your walk. But therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Where's all wisdom come from? The mind of Christ, the Word of God. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. 16, making the most of your time, that's the phrase. The true translation of that phrase is redeem the time. Redeem the time. As Herman would say, while you're washing your hands, because you're afraid of COVID, right? Take that 3 minutes to pray for somebody. Redeem the time. Buy that time back. Don't make it a waste of time just washing your hands. Use it for the glory of God by approaching Him in prayer. Make the most of your time. Redeem this time that you have in the devil's world. You redeem it because you are trading it the production of this dark world. You trade it for the production of light. And it's redeeming, buying the time back, because that time that you spend in God the Holy Spirit is the basis of your eternal reward. There's the redemption of that time. You got something good out of this time in the rotten, old, dark, dirty devil's world. You got eternal rewards because you relied on God the Holy Spirit and saw His fruits in your life. Okay? So, make the most of, redeem your time, because the days are evil, and they're about to get more evil as far as I can see. Okay? So, how can we stand up to the overwhelming darkness of the world these days? That's what we start looking at in this walking in light aspect. Because there's darkness all around us. Well, Ephesians 3:14 tells us, "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man." His Spirit, the power of God the Holy Spirit, is the only way you're going to be strengthened in this world. Okay? So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. There's the means, through faith, right? And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that's what started you. God's love for you. You believed in the work of Christ because God loved you and provided that grace. And you got eternal salvation. And redemption of time in this world is simply believing in the work of God the Holy Spirit and seeing it in your lives. And it benefits you. It gives you eternal rewards. And it glorifies Christ now and forevermore. You're grounded in love. And you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasseth knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. The last part, let's bow our heads and close with this prayer. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Walk in the light, the newness of life, and the grace that God has given you. See you online Wednesday night. See you here Sunday morning. Thank you.